Okay, shalom everybody, we're on. And today we're learning Rav Kook's commentary on the Agadata, on Masechet Shabbat, on the Gemara, on the Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, and that is chapter 4, paragraph 10. And Dafka, we'll start out with a Gemara, which doesn't seem Agadic. At the beginning it sounds Halachic, but you'll see soon why Rav Kook relates to this in his commentary on the Agadah. The Gemara reads as follows: Amarav Huna Amarav, in source number one. Asur lahatmin et hatsonen. We know that there is a problem of people in the olden days. They used to keep things warm by covering them with blankets. And there was a problem that sometimes they would cover things with old ashes, and inside the ashes there was a coal. And when you moved the coal, so that was caused it to ignite. And in general, on Shabbat itself, well, let's start with the Erev Shabbat. Here we let the people in. On Erev Shabbat, you're allowed to wrap things in blankets if it doesn't add heat. For example, you're allowed to put, for example, blankets on a blech, on a hot plate, before Shabbat. On Shabbat itself, you're not allowed to wrap things up to keep them warm. That's if they're totally wrapped from all the different directions. We don't have time to get into all the halachot. And Rav Huna says that you're not allowed even to wrap up cold food on Shabbat. Why? Because people might come to warming to wrap up warm food on Shabbat, or they might wrap things up in things that keep them warm. I'll mention parenthetically, this has nothing to do with the thermos. You're allowed to put also hot and also cold in thermoses on Shabbat. But in the olden days, the way they used to do it, it was more problematic. And Rav Huna says that you're not allowed to wrap up even something cold on Shabbat to protect it from warming up. Why? Because you might come to wrap up something hot, and that would be more problematic. But the Gemara asks, "V'hatnan Rebbe hitir lahatmin et hatzonen." But didn't we learn that Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, who is the editor of the Mishnah, he said you're allowed to wrap up cold food on Shabbat in order to keep it cold. And you just said you're not allowed to. Answers the Gemara, "Lo kashya." Hamikame dilishame Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi, halabatar dilishame. Before Rabbi Yehuda heard from Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi that it's allowed, he originally said it's not allowed. After he heard from Rabbi Yishmael that it is allowed, then he also said it's allowed. Ki had de Rabbi amar asur latmin et hatzonen. And here the Gemara tells us that, in fact, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, said you're not allowed to wrap up cold food on Shabbat. Amar lefanav, and here's the punchline, Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yishmael, the son of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yishmael was a friend of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. And he said in the name of his father, Abba, my father Rabbi Yossi, who was a rabbi in the previous generation, he permitted to wrap up cold food on Shabbat, and wasn't worried about doing a gzerah l'gzerah that you might come to wrapping up hot food on Shabbat. Amar kvar horazaken, Rabbi Yehuda said, well, if your father already said it, well, that means there's a precedent, and I take back what I thought of forbidding it. And here we see a couple of interesting things. First of all, we see the anava, the humility of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, even though he thought of forbidding something, as soon as he heard that a rabbi in the previous generation allowed it, he was silent and he changed his mind. Number two, we see that even though Rabbi Yehuda Nasi had a svara, he had a reason why he wanted to forbid something, but if the fact is that a rabbi in a previous generation already allowed it, so Rabbi Yehuda Nasi changes his mind. And this is very interesting because there are several seemingly contradicting rules in halacha. For example, we know that the Amoraim don't dare, in general, they don't dare disagree with the Tanaim because the Tanaim came before them. And, well, just like we see here, if they were before us, we have to respect them, they set the precedents, and we have to listen to them. On the other hand, there is a seemingly contradicting rule in halacha, that halacha kibatrai, the halacha is like the latter day authorities. Now, the general explanation is because the latter day authorities are, even if they are not as great as the previous authorities, they are like the midget standing on the shoulders of the giant. And even if the earlier rabbis were giants, the midget who is on top of them and is adding on another level, he can even see more than the giant. And so that's the most common explanation. Nevertheless, we're going back to the Gemara and see how Rav Kook explains it. Paragraph 2. Tachlit klal ha-Torah upratiyoteha. The goal of the Torah in general, and the goal of the details of the Torah. Here, if you want to see what is the goal, get yourself ready, because there's an important punchline. Lahashrish kidushata ve'omek gedulat erka belevav kol am Hashem. The respect for the Torah, honoring the Torah, is a value in and to itself. And that is what's behind also the rules of the Torah, the general rules, and also the details. And the idea is that, yes, the Torah, learning Torah, is not just important in order to know how to fulfill, because you can't fulfill unless you know what to do. That is true. But in addition to that, learning Torah itself, as Rabbi Chaim of Volozhin writes in Nefesh HaChaim, learning the Torah itself, even if you're learning Sefer Vayikra, and we don't have sacrifices today, even if you're learning Kodshim and Tarot and many different halachot that don't apply today, the Torah in and unto itself is the goal, in addition to helping us know how to fulfill. So Rav Kook talks about this a lot, about the importance of the details of the Torah, how it's supposed to preoccupy us. Some of you have been learning with us since about 10 years ago. We learned Chacham, Rav Kook's article, Chacham Adif Mi Navi, where he talks about what is the moral goodness that comes out of learning all of the monetary issues and the technicalities of Seder Nezikin. And Rav Kook explains that the Jew, through the Torah Shebaal Peh, through the Talmud, becomes super preoccupied with the ideals of being fair regarding money, returning lost objects, not taking something that doesn't belong to you. But in addition to all that, that the Torah preoccupies us, Rav Kook here is dealing with another issue, that the Torah in unto itself, that deserves a very important standing. That's why when a Sefer Torah comes in, we stand up. How much more so when a Torah scholar comes in, we stand up. And continues Rav Kook, Al ken hadikdukim shebamitzvot, the details regarding the mitzvot that we talk about. For example, are you or are you not allowed to wrap up warm or cold food on Shabbat? These type of details, hey minama diburim hayoter mevurarim shal yadam ha'uma bichlala miva'et et hargashata ha'pnimit, kama Torah kula yikara u'kdosha b'imkelevava. Through dealing with, are you allowed? Are you not allowed? Is it an obligation? Is it forbidden? Do we wrap? Do we not wrap? Warm food, cold food, before Shabbat, on Shabbat. We are showing our love and our loyalty, just like a loyal spouse cares about even the smallest things. If my wife asked me to pick up a couple of things at the grocery store, I want to write it down to make sure that I do it right. And even if she doesn't ask me to bring something, and I know that she likes white chocolate, I will bring white chocolate. And this is idea of loyalty. So when we not only notice what we're talking about in the Gemara here, we're talking about not only a gezerah, but maybe a gezerah legezerah, a decree to protect another decree. Rav Kook is saying this shows the value of the Torah to the Jewish people. But let's continue. Paragraph Bet. Al ken. Im yizdamein lifamim me'ora shal yedei ezekula yavo haregesh hanizgav la'ashrish kavod kedushat ha'Torah v'yikar erka me'ever acher. Usually, the way that we express our loyalty and our honor of the Torah is by making sure that we're not going to transgress it. Often we may be machmir. We'll take a stringent opinion to make sure that we don't come close even to transgressing another prohibition. Rav Kook is saying, but our case is different. Why did Rabbi Yehuda Nasi change his mind? Because even though he thought that it would be adding, he originally thought that it would be adding to the honor of the Torah by saying that just like we don't cover hot food on Shabbat, he says maybe we shouldn't cover cold food on Shabbat. But when he sees that a rabbi in the previous generation already allowed it, what is the term in the Gemara? Kvar horazaken. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi says an older, previous generation rabbi already laid down the rules. In other words, you can all see where Rav Kook is going. That yes, it's very important to be stringent, which shows how important the Torah and its laws are. On the other hand, in this case, and in many cases, Davka, by honoring the rabbi in the previous generation, this is the better way to show honor of the Torah. And that is why Rabbi Yehuda Nasi doesn't hesitate and right away says, if a previous rabbi allowed it, then it's allowed. Kvar hora zaken. What Rav Kook is saying is that both of these, also the chumrot and also the kulot, sometimes to be stringent, and in this case to be lenient, they're both leading us to the same goal. The goal is to honor the Torah and to honor the rabbis, to honor the Talmudic scholars, to honor. And that is very important. When we talk about, you all remember Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof, tradition. That is a very important idea. And that's why rabbis think twice, three times before changing not just a rabbinical mitzvah, but even a tradition, even a custom. Why? Because the framework of the Torah is tradition, which includes, even though it was just a rabbi one generation before, okay, but that's a precedent. And this is an example of Kavod HaTorah, which is going to bring us to the same goal, not just through stringencies, but in this case, to be lenient and listen to the previous generation, because it is Kavod HaTorah. Continues Rav Kook. So in this case, the honor of the Torah and its value comes from the opposite direction, lo mitzad ha'inyan ha'prati, not from a certain understanding. Like Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi originally thought through an understanding, logically, okay, I think this wrapping up cold food should be forbidden. Ki imitzad mabat klali al kvodam shel chachamim. Rav Kook here is adding a very important point. Halachic authorities have to have a mabat klali. They have to step back and to have an overview to take into account all of the different factors. Rav Kook himself, there's actually two entire books. Two entire doctorates were written. One by Chagi Ben Arzi, that's Sarah Netanyahu's brother, and the other by Rabbi Dr. Nerya Gutel, about how Rav Kook takes into account not just halachic issues, but meta-halachic issues. For example, when Rav Kook, Heter Mechira, this year, Shemitah, we all know that most of the produce in Israel is allowed and doesn't apply to it the laws of Shemitah, because the farmers, the Moshavnikim, the Kibbutznikim, they sold the land through the chief rabbinate, to a non-Jew. Now this loophole, just like the loophole of selling chametz before Pesach to a non-Jew, it is there in order to take into account the larger picture, because we want to help the Jewish people and those people who have, for example, a lot of schnapps. That's where the Hasidim started selling their chametz. Or somebody who has a supermarket. And he's going to lose a lot of money if he has to burn all of his chametz. Or regarding the issue of Shemitah, where Rav Kook says that Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, settling the land of Israel, the farmers of Eretz Yisrael, that's a very important halachic factor. So Rav Kook says we have to take into account all of the halachic factors. In this case, what is one of those outside factors? Honoring rabbis of the previous generation. Avdei Hashem v'yikrat erkam. To honor them is a very important aspect of Torah. Maybe I'll just tell a quick anecdote that I perform weddings through the Tzohar organization for non-religious couples. And the idea is to sit down with them to show them the nicer aspects of Judaism. And the most important thing when you sit down with a couple is you try to get them interested in the laws of family purity and Torah in general, right? When else in life is a couple going to have 2 hours sitting down with a rabbi? So I was sitting down with this couple, and I was very impressed that both of them were very intelligent, intellectual. I was also very impressed that first the woman and afterwards the chatan, the groom, their eyes lit up when they heard the explanations of the laws of Tarat Mishpacha, family purity. And afterwards, after I performed the marriage, little by little they started asking me more and more and more questions. And about a year after the marriage, the husband asks me, he says, "Tell me, are there tzaddikim today? Are there still righteous people today in the Jewish people?" So I said, "Of course." So I said, "Could you introduce me to a tzaddik?" So I said, "Sure." Before thinking how I'm going to do this, I said, you know, a guy asked me a favor. So I figured, and I picked up a telephone to Rav Nevin Sal, the Rav of the Rov Hayudi, of the Jewish quarter. And anybody who knows him knows that he is a tzaddik. And he walks around with tefillin all day. He always has a huge smile. And I called him up, and through his humility, he answers the phone. And I said, I didn't tell him I have somebody who wants to meet a tzaddik. I said, I know a non-religious person who is interested in becoming more religious, and he'd like to meet you. So Rav Nevin Sal said, "Oh, great, fine. Send him over." So I gave him the number, and this guy was blown away by the righteousness of Rav Nevinzahl. That one meeting immediately convinced him to become religious. And afterwards, he sent his, now, today, the family is totally religious. The wife covers the hair. They send their children to religious education. And it all goes back to, first of all, having the patience to explain even one mitzvah to a couple. Also, parenthetically, sometimes people think that the laws of family purity might turn people off. Just like the story now with Yuval Dayan, that they think, well, maybe if she didn't shake the hand of the President of the United States, that's a Chilul Hashem. If you know how to explain something properly, it davka can turn people on. But the most important part regarding our topic is the value of Chachamim. And that is why the role of people like Rav Nevinzahl, or in our case, people like Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi says we have to go out of our way to swallow our own opinion in order to give honor to the previous generation, because that is what's going to bring more kavod to the Torah. Maybe I'll deal just for a minute with an apparent issue that seemingly in Rav Kook himself contradicts that which he is saying here. On the other hand, as we'll see, it's exactly what he's saying here. In Pesach 1909, I brought for you the sources, but we don't have time to go through the whole source inside. There was a terrible famine in the land of Israel, 1909. And Pesach, most people, Ashkenazim, they don't fry in kitniot oil. And because of the economic situation, two brothers, the Breslev brothers, asked Rav Kook, in this situation, can he give them ashkacha to make their sesame oil kosher lePesach? And Rav Kook knew these brothers. This I actually wrote an article about. He knew them from Mir. Rav Kook's father-in-law, the Aderet, was the chief rabbi of Mir, and the Breslev brothers were from Mir. That's why Rav Kook, when he writes about them, he says, I know them, that they are very religious. Rav Kook checked out the mitziyut, the facts, and he saw that in the process of making sesame oil, there is no water involved. The sesame oil does not come in contact with water. And Rav Kook said, well, if the whole idea of not eating kitniyot, not eating legumes on Pesach for Ashkenazim, is because maybe people might mistake it for wheat. In this case, it's allowed, because even if it were wheat itself, wheat which does not come in contact with water is not chametz. So Rav Kook gave hashgacha. This was one of Rav Kook's first conflicts with the Badats of Yerushalayim. And the rabbis of Yerushalayim said, how can you change tradition? And Rav Kook writes back his answers. And he explains, yes, tradition is important, but there is no tradition not to use oil, even if it's legume oil, which doesn't come in contact with water. Now, if you add that to the fact that the Jews in Palestine are very, very poor, again, 1909, and they're going to be hungry on Pesach, and it's a problem of Simchat Yom Tov, they won't be happy on the holiday, and eventually might lead to people leaving the land of Israel. Rav Kook said, in this case, the logic does not contradict the tradition. Well, the rabbis in Yerushalayim say, or they could say, even today, even what we learned today, Rav Kook is saying that what the rabbis of the previous generation said, that is more important than what your opinion is. Rav Kook is not contradicting himself. Rav Kook is saying you have to look at the whole picture. If you look at the entire picture and you take into account all of the different factors, including honor of the Torah, including the facts how it's made, including the economic situation, including Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He comes to his decision, and Rav Kook writes to the rabbis of Yerushalayim, this is the way of Torah. You know what? If you have questions about my opinion, ask your questions, let's debate. But if you just say tradition, 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 well, in this case, tradition, there's no tradition to eat or not to eat oil of sesame seeds that does not come in contact with water. Bikitsur, just the end of the story, many of you even to this day eat achva, you know, the achva chalva and the achva tchina. That is the original Breslev Brother company that Rav Kook was writing to in 1909, and the company still exists today. Like I said, if you eat chalva or you eat tchina, you've probably tasted them. Anyway, getting back to our issue, let's go into the share screen again. So Rav Kook is saying is you have to take into account all of the different factors. Maybe I'll also mention another point. There's a famous Pri Megadim, which says, and I believe it's in his laws of Isser Veheter and Kuf Yud, Yoredea Kuf Yud, he writes that there is almost no chumrah which doesn't bring a kula regarding something else. There's almost no stringent opinion which does not bring a lenient opinion on another issue. And that's why it's not simple just to take the more stringent opinion. Yes, Rav Kook here is saying that sometimes taking the stringent opinion shows a loyalty and a love of halacha, which is important. But sometimes, if you look at all of the factors, like in this case, honoring the rabbis of the previous generation, that is even more important. Kitzur, Rav Kook is saying you have to take all the factors into account. Let's just jump down to the end of paragraph bit. So Rav Kook is saying that, yes, the individual issue might bring you to a stringent conclusion. וכבוד חכמים המכריע תקף לכולם יוסן על הערך הכללי הגדול שיש במצווה. In this case, we have to look at a broader issue, that of honoring rabbis, which is even more important than your personal opinion, or my own personal opinion, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi is saying, regarding wrapping cold food on Shabbat. Hakolelet et yesod Torah shebaal peh. Hare, one of the major points of the oral law is based on respecting the rabbis, especially of a previous generation. She yesod kritot brito shel hakadosh baruch hu imam Yisrael. Hare, this is the covenant that God made with the people of Israel. He amitzvah lishmoa divrei chachamim. Is the mitzvah to listen to the rabbis. What is Rav Kook referring to? What is this covenant made with the oral law? Rav Kook here is referring clearly to the Midrash Tanchum I brought for you in source number 5 on Parshat Noach, Si'if Gimel. Let's see it inside. Shelo karat HaKadosh Baruch Hu Brit im Yisrael. God only made a covenant with the nation of Israel, Ela al Torah Shebaal Peh, on the oral law. Not on the written law, the oral law. Shene'emar ki al pi advarim ha'ele karati itcha brit. The pasuk in Shmot says, on these words, I have made a covenant with you. What are the words? The oral law. Ve'lo kiblu Yisrael et ha-Torah ad she'kafaliyem ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu et ha-Har ke-Gigit. The Midrash says that God held the mountain, Mount Sinai, over the Jewish people and said, if you accept the Torah, fine, and if not, I'm going to drop the Torah on you. What is the Midrash saying? Amar of Dimi Barcham Amar Lem Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael Im Mekablim Atem Et HaTorah Mutavim Lav Sham Tekvuratchem Ve'im Tomar Al HaTorah Shebichtav Kafaliyem Et HaHar. Most people think that it's talking about the written law which God is about to give them on Mount Sinai. The Midrash says no. V'alo misha she'amar lehem mekablin atem et ha-Torah, anu kolam amru na'aseh v'nishma. Right, the Jewish people already said, we will do, and we will listen, even before the Torah was given. God didn't have to force them, coerce them. Mipnei she'in ba yegia v'tzar hi me'at. Because the written law is not difficult. If you look at the non-Jews, you look at the Christians, they love the Old Testament, and it's not difficult to learn. And that is why God did not have to force the Jewish people to accept the written law. Ela amar lehen ala Torah shebal peh. God had to, as if it were, force us to accept the written law. Sheesh ba dikduke mitzvot kalot v'chamurot, because there are so many details and leniencies and stringencies involved. V'aza kamavet, and it's difficult. Anybody who's learned Talmud knows that you have to rack your brains in order to learn it. V'kashe kishol kinata lefi she'en lo medota ela mishoev ha-kadosh baruch hu b'chol libo v'chol nafsho v'chol modo. You can only learn the Talmud if you really love God with all of your soul. And that's why Am Yisrael, according to this Midrash, was debating, should we accept it or not? And this is the covenant that God made with the people of Israel, the oral law. The non-Jews, they don't have the oral law. They just accept the written law. But as Rav Kook is saying, God's unique covenant with the Jewish people is davka through the oral law. If we look at Rav Yosef Karo in source number 6 on Birchot HaTorah, he also says beautifully, when we make the bracha, Asher natan lanu Torat emet v'chaye olam nata betochenu, what is the difference between that God gave us the true Torah? The Shulchan Aruch says, the true Torah, that is the written law. It's totally true. Comes straight from God. V'chaye olam nata betochenu. But the eternal life that God planted in us, that is the oral law. What does it mean he planted in us? It's constantly growing. A tree is constantly growing. It's constantly developing. And this is the beauty of the partnership of Am Yisrael with God. That God wrote the written law, but he gave us a covenant that we will continue and rack our brains and show our loyalty to God, davka, through the oral law. And here Rav Kook quotes another Gemara in Yevamot, source 7, Daf Chaf Amud Aleph. We won't get into the context, we don't have time. The Gemara there talks about Isur Mitzvah, something which is prohibited according to the mitzvah. What's it talking about, prohibited according to the mitzvah? Answers the Gemara, Shniot. That is Shniot La'arayot, that which the rabbis say is not allowed. And so the Gemara asks, Amai kari le isur mitzvah? Why is that called a mitzvah which comes from a prohibition? Amar abaye mitzvah lishmoa divrei chachamim. Because there is an important mitzvah to listen to the wise people. And this is what Rav Kook is quoting in paragraph, at the end of paragraph Bet. This is the yesod of Judaism, is to respect the rabbis of a previous generation. And that is what Rabbi Yehuda, notice, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he's not a small rabbi. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi is the editor of the Mishnah. But as soon as he heard that from Rabbi Ishmael, his friend Rabbi Ishmael, he says, Abba, my father Rabbi Yossi allowed wrapping cold food on Shabbat. Amar kvar hora zaken. Rav Kook is beautifully explaining the halachic importance. On the one hand, yes, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi wanted to take a stringent opinion, thus showing the importance of and the value of the Torah and the laws of Shabbat. But in this case, the way of showing the value of the Torah is by listening to the rabbis of a previous generation, which brings us to the same point. In other words, whether a person is stringent, whether it's sometimes leniency, a person always, the posek, the halachic authority, always has to look at the overview, take all of the factors into account, and one of the important halachic factors is to give honor to the Torah. And this is so important, because very often, you know, a rabbi will have an opinion, and somebody asks, but doesn't somebody disagree? And the rabbi's in a dilemma, because, yes, he disagrees with the other rabbi. Don't put down the other opinion. Even if you disagree, You could say, I'll look into it. I'll think about it. I respect other rabbis very much. But don't put down rabbis, especially of the previous generation. I once heard a, should I mention it? Yeah. Alan Dershowitz, a very famous lawyer, maybe the most famous lawyer in the world. He, the only reason it's not Lashon Hara, he writes it in one of his books. So that's what's called Yadua Lakol. He says, and by the way, he grew up in a very religious home. He had religious education. But he left. And he mentions one of the points that brought down the Torah in his eyes was that when the rabbi used to speak, people afterwards would say, I disagree, the rabbi speaks too long, the rabbi is too much this, the rabbi is too much that. This lack towards the Torah that Rav Kook is stressing here really is a very serious problem in our generation. And those who want to see the story of the oil of the sesame seeds that I brought for you in source number 4, read the source, and you'll see how that Rav Kook here also is writing about the importance of honoring the Torah. And he's talking to the rabbis of Yerushalayim and says, listen, it's not honor to the Torah if you just say, oh, Rav Kook, we disagree with him, and he's contradicting tradition. Again, if you have questions, ask them. We'll debate. But just to say we don't like his opinion, that is not honoring the Torah. And especially in our generation, we live in a generation where there's not that much respect. And people today don't respect the principal of the school as much as we did as children. And people don't respect their parents as much as we did as children. And the topic of democracy is so strong in the world today that respect is becoming weaker and weaker. And Rav Kook is saying, even if it's at the expense of my Torah opinion, we have to give honor to the Torah. And that is... what, just to finish off, paragraph Gimel, Akein acharei atzorech asher matza Rebbe b'chumra le'asura hatmanat sonen, even though Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, saw a reason to prohibit wrapping cold food on Shabbat, kidei l'arshim al yadat erech hanizgav shel kedushat haShabbat Shabbat Kodesh b'yeter seit, in order to drive point home the point, how important Shabbat is, by taking a more stringent opinion, acharei asher shama shekvar hora Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi leheter, after Rabbi Yehuda Nasi heard that the precedent that Rabbi Shmuel said, my father allowed it, b'asher ra'ah b'yamav shekenu ha'mishkal ha'ra'ui. Rav Kook, again, as we said before, what is the job of the rabbi? In every generation, you have to weigh out all of the different factors, all of the proper weight to every issue. Yes, I had my first opinion, but there is the honoring of the Torah. Achareichen, kvar yesh kan hachra kolelet. And we have to take into account the larger picture. Again, larger picture could be what people think about the Torah. The larger picture could be making the Torah palatable and relevant. It could be helping the people in Eretz Yisrael. It could be there are a lot of different factors, and all of them have to be taken into account. She'akula atzma tamshich shefa kodesh l'machzikim ba mitnei she'techezak vodam shel chachamim b'lev ha'oma. Adding honor in the heart of Am Yisrael, the importance of respecting Torah scholars, shemize totzat chayim virigshei kodesh rabim, al ken amar kvar hora zaken. Very important message.